Dr. Bianca Feilburn, good morning.
Good morning.
So Bianca, in our current climate where more and more women are being encouraged to speak out against sexual harassment, sexual assault, abuse and violence, what impact do you think that such a public and terrifying demonstration such as this could have on women who may already be apprehensive about speaking out?
Yeah, so I think it's quite possible that it would contribute to women and to other survivors being reluctant or not speaking out. You know, I think something like Race Day sends the message that, you know, sexual violence is something that is normalized, that it's, you know, tolerated, that it's condoned, and that survivors perhaps won't be believed or they won't be taken seriously if they do speak out, or that, you know, it's their perpetrators who might end up receiving public support rather than themselves. And I think more broadly, I'm concerned about how these actions work to create a culture more broadly that, you know, supports and normalizes sexual violence. So it's going to have an impact on people who have already experienced sexual violence, and it might silence them and stop them from speaking out. But it's also going to shape how, you know, people who unfortunately will experience sexual violence in the future might understand and interpret their actions. And it, you know, it does contribute towards the actions of perpetrators.
Yeah, definitely. And I seem to think the running commentary on this issue was majority in line with the idea that no one should panic because it was all a joke, and albeit it was a joke made in poor taste, but it feels like that we should be panicked and attentive. What would you say to those who dismiss this issue so quickly as just a simple joke and a hoax?
Yeah, so it's not a joke. I know that there's a, you know, there is a debate to be had around whether we can make jokes about sexual violence. And I think it is possible, you know, to make jokes about sexual violence. You know, for example, that survivors and people who work in counselling and support services often use, you know, dark humour as a coping strategy. The difference between, I guess, appropriate and inappropriate jokes on sexual violence is that appropriate jokes are punting up, right? They're aimed at the perpetrators and they're aimed at unsettling rape myths and misconceptions and those norms that, you know, condone and excuse sexual violence. For something like Rape Day, it's not a joke because, you know, saying there's a day where, you know, we can basically rape with impunity is something that already happens. That reflects the reality of so many women's lives. And it's an experience which is, you know, so often terrifying, it's traumatizing, it can have, you know, lifelong consequences for survivors. So it's not a joke because it's reflecting something that already happens. And again, it's, you know, working to normalize and minimize the actions of perpetrators who are typically in a position of power. You know, I think we've had ample evidence this year that, you know, too often our police and other political institutions don't take sexual violence seriously. So there's nothing being, you know, challenged or disrupted through this type of humour. It's working to condone and normalise very harmful actions.
And there does seem to be that sort of lack of understanding of the gravity of the situation in millennial culture, and particularly where TikTok is that kind of app which serves to have that purpose of having the audience of millennials. Would you have any advice to give to the parents of children who may have seen that video on TikTok in addition to seeing the commentary around it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing you can do is to have a conversation with your children. And, you know, I mean, ideally, having an ongoing conversation about things like sex and consent, but, you know, asking them if they've seen the video, you know, what did they think of it? Did they think it was a joke? And if they did, why? You know, maybe just asking them some gentle questions to challenge, you know, their views, if they thought that it was okay, you know, how do they think it might make people who've experienced sexual violence feel, for example. So, you know, I think that's the best thing you can do as parents, is to really just encourage your children to think critically. I think also, you know, letting them know if they have experienced sexual violence that, you know, it's not okay, that you believe them and that you support them unequivocally, and letting them know that they haven't done anything to bring it on themselves, that they're not to blame. All of those things are incredibly important. But, you know, really just creating the space to have that open and honest dialogue about sex and about consent and about sexual violence, I think is a really excellent way to go.
Definitely important questions to ask to continue that conversation, especially in light of Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. Dr. Bianca, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.